Meet Sven.
Yeah.
He's very excited right now. Sven doesn't play poker, but he's still very excited. You see, Sven is a dealer for Porsche, and he's just found out that PokerStars players earn $7.5 million in VIP points every month. And with our all-inclusive program, that's enough to redeem 5 of the lovely pieces of German engineering every day.
Yeah!
Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to leave other schemes, well, out of commission. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's April 1st, 2011, and you're listening to the finest PokerCast east of Mars. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long, east of Mars?
Yeah.
You don't even know where Perth, Australia is. How do you know it's east of Mars?
Clearly, I have failed Subtle Humor by Scott Long 101. If I'm being that subtle and I can't even get you to laugh or understand it, clearly I didn't pass the course.
Wow, east of Mars.
Well, you know, we're east of Mars at some point, aren't we?
Probably 12 hours a day, yes.
Well, there you go. So 12 hours a day, we're the finest PokerCast east of Mars. Yeah, 12, and then the rest of the world's sleeping, so I don't have to worry about it.
Oh, man. Wow. You know, hey, we try to come up with something for April Fool's Day, which, if you're listening on Friday, is April Fool's Day.
Yes, that's correct.
If you're listening early, then, hey, you still got time to get some tricks in your bag. but it turns out we're just not funny enough to come up with anything.
You know, though.
It's too damn serious.
You know, when we were doing legitimate journalism back in the old days, because, you know, I consider what we do now not really legitimate, but... you know, we used to have those pre-meetings before we get out there and start editing stories on holidays, and they would say, listen, all those cliche leads that come in about Christmas and, you know, cut them out, rewrite them, call the old guy back up, make him rewrite himself or whatever.
Tis the season.
Tis the season for cliche leads. So we're better than that. We're above that. We're not going to do any up. Oh, you know, we're quitting doing the magazine, or, you know, hey, did you hear that Tiger Woods is getting a sponsorship deal from my WantToCheatOnMyWife.com poker club, you know? I mean, really, it's just so stupid to do those April Fool's jokes, and all it does is clog up the internet and waste your time, so, hey, we're above that. Actually, the real truth is that we couldn't figure anything out, so,
moved on. That's the honest answer there, but, but, you know, something I can't figure out, Chris, is apes.
Oh, I know. Who can, really?
I just, it's coming up on almost a year now since my last Apes cash.
Oh, my God. That's a drought.
That is a huge drought.
Wow. Sorry, buddy. I'm sorry that you haven't been able to put it together.
Well, yeah. But, you know, this last Apes, this last weekend event two, was the most interesting Apes event I've ever played, Chris.
How come?
Well, I was drafting my fantasy baseball team at the same time as I was playing Apes.
Oh, man. You know, I could have sworn in our business contract that we came up with that there was some writing in there that said that you are not allowed to remind me that you're that much of a geek and having fantasy leagues. I can't stand it.
I mean, come on. I'm not a Trekkie, man.
Oh, great. You just offended 98% of our listeners.
You offended the other 2%, so we're doing well today.
Hey, it's not a complete April Fool's Day unless you offend everyone who listens to your show.
Well, yeah, so I was going back and forth between drafting and playing, and wow, I think I was just really tight.
You're really tight. You were paying attention. That's what it was. You were only like, all right, I'm not going to play that hand. I want to see who's playing third base for the Indians this year. You know, that's all you cared about.
I still don't know the answer to that, actually. I don't think the Indians know the answer to that. But this particular draft, Chris, some jackwagon pulled out a egg timer and put us all on a time limit.
So we were rushing through it, and I was flipping back and forth between the spreadsheet and my draft software and the apes and trying to focus on all of it. And, of course, when you're trying to do that, you're just this big frazzled piece of yarn. But at the end of it, at least through the end of the draft, I had a great draft. Thanks for asking. And the Poker Dogs are going to win the league this year. And at that point, I had like 4,500 chips and apes.
Wow.
I was doing awesome because I think what I was doing was I was so frazzled that I was folding a lot of those crappy hands that I normally play that get me in trouble. I was playing super, super tight, and then getting lucky, I flopped a set of nines against aces and stuff. In fact, I didn't even know I flopped it against aces because I moved all in, and then I just went back to the draft figuring, you know, hey, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And I flipped back, and I'm like, oh, hey, I doubled up. And then later in the chat, someone said I cracked his aces.
Oh, my God. So where did you finish?
Well, yeah, so this was the rub of it is, you know, I was just excited that I could get this all done. I'm playing, and then I realized, hey, the draft is going to be over, and I'm still going to be in this thing, and I'm going to be stuck at this guy's house. Going, hey, sorry, I'm going to be one of those idiots that's just going to sit around here and play play poker in your living room when the draft's over. Hope that's all right. but it turned out I got unlucky in a hand and went out in 12th before the last person left, so I wasn't the Deutsche Bank that sat around in the living room, and of course I wasn't the Deutsche Bank that actually cashed again. So I am almost, Chris, 1 year away from my last cash in apes.
Wow. Well, it's good to know that I was completely focused on the task at hand and still went out way earlier than you when you weren't even paying attention and finished 12. So no matter what I did, it didn't work. I tried to squeeze on the last play that I made with King-Jack suited, and the guy had aces, so I got knocked out with that.
Oops.
Oops, that's what everyone types it into. Oops. I'm like, shut up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That's a tough squeeze play they make there against aces.
And then another play, Jay Herkey, you know, he thinks I'm stealing because I'd raise a couple of times. This time I have a legitimate hand. And I flop a set of fives and slow play it, and he backdoors runner straight with 6-9 suited in his hand. I'm like, really? Really? I mean, come on, people. You're killing me. So we've been going at it with each other on the forum, busting each other's stones about it. But really, no matter what I did, if I slow played, they caught up. If I fast played, they had nothing. Or if I was stealing, they had a big hand. And so I let's just say it's CLNHE for a reason.
But you know, hey, I look back at the Apes all-time records, you know, getting all that great work that Poker Geeks do, and that link is on our Apes page at annieupmagazine.com/apes, and obviously this was just event 2 for this series, so
right.
I finished 11th last one, 12th this time, so I'm consistently just outside the money.
Right.
But I went back the last year, and I haven't had a cash less than 7, or I finished less than 17 in the last 5 or 6 events.
Wow. So your rise to mediocrity is impressive.
Exactly. I am about as solid of a mediocre player as you will find.
You're consistently mediocre. There's nothing better than that. Never good enough to cash, never bad enough to go out early and enjoy the rest of the day.
Well, you know, we got the hotline was busy this week, and we actually have a real hotline later on, and real hotlines for the next coming weeks. But it was very hot during Apes, and just before the tournament started, it rang. Of course, I was busy trying to figure out you know, which first baseman to take in the first round first, so I didn't have time to answer it. But when I got around to it, it was Player X calling in with a Nostradamus-like prediction.
Hello, guys. This is once again Player X calling from parts unknown. I just wanted to call in to guarantee a victory in the Anti-Up Apes event this afternoon. So you may as well just tell your listeners to not even register at this point.
I've just figured out who Player X is.
Have you?
It's Joe Namath.
Joe Namath.
Clearly, he's making predictions and he's drunk. So it's got to be Joe Namath.
Well, no, wait a minute. I mean, I was amazed that he called in. That was 10 minutes before the tournament, right?
Right.
And then we get down to the final table and the winner, and wait a minute. It wasn't Player X. Yeah. All right. Guess he has to work on those guarantees. I hope at some point that Player X actually runs his own poker room and puts a guarantee on a tournament.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
I will be there every day because it'd be a guaranteed overlay.
But we did have the actual winner call in, and I got some funny stuff to say about it. It's Drunk0666. He took the event down, and let's hear what he had to say.
Hey, what's up, guys? You got Drunk0666 here. New to your show. Started listening a couple weeks ago. Decided to play in the Apes event. Scary enough. Took it down for you guys. So happy to grab a bite from you guys. It'll go on my mantle nice with my empty beer cans. Bush heavy. And you guys rock, man.
I always like it when new listeners find us and then steal money out of our pockets.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing about this guy is actually he's from my old stomping grounds. He let me know he was from Connecticut and what town. He actually is from the same town where I lived last before I moved here. And so now I've been emailing him back and forth. I'm like, hey, what street is that? And he's like, it's right over here behind the pawn shop. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know. So, and, of course, we're both loving UConn winning right now. So we've been talking about that, too. So pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, did you actually stomp growing up?
I did. I did stomp. I was in Stomp. I was in Rent. I was in Beauty and the Beast. I did a lot of the Broadway classics.
Oh, I don't know how much money I would pay to see you in a Broadway play. Broadway musical, even better, yes.
My rendition of Phantom of the Opera is stunning.
Well, you know, hey, Drunk has something in common with both of us, Chris. He obviously lives in your old stomping grounds.
Right.
And he is the latest in a long line of people to win Apes after desperately seeking the password on the forum just before start time and me and my generous big heart giving it to him.
Oh, man.
Because, you know, we never announce it on the show.
Right.
You know, it's not like we ever accidentally say Annie Up 2011 on the show.
Or we say where to go to find it.
Yeah, or mention that we have like a website, you know, that posts things like that. Like AnnieUpMagazine.com/apes. So naturally, people are going to do the extra step of creating an account on the forum, logging in, posting, and then sitting by the phone like a girl on prom night waiting for somebody to come back and answer where it is. That's far more easier. But no, seriously, Drunk did it again. It was like 9 o'clock on Friday he posted. I checked it Saturday morning and gave it to him, and he goes on and wins.
Man.
I've never won Apes in my life.
Is there a way for us to forget the password in our minds so that we can sort of call each other up and ask what it is again and see if we can win that way?
You know, I've got a better thing. I think right now what I'm going to do is I'm gonna require a piece of the action.
Yes.
The password for people that don't write it down when you're listening to the show. So for those of you that want to keep all 100% of the prize pool, both lenses of the Poker Shark optics that we send out, and half a seat in the full seat in the free roll, not just a half a seat. It's Annie Up 2011. Because next time you post in the forum, I'm going to give you half of the password and then say I'll give you the other half when you sign a contract giving me half of your winnings. Can't win, and this is a guaranteed winner with these guys.
Right.
Post last minute, so. No, I'm not going to discourage him, Chris. I'm going to profit from this.
Well, unlike the half the Steelers team who went into hiding after guaranteeing a Super Bowl victory against your Packers, we actually had Player X come up and face the music and call us back.
Player X, once again, calling from parts unknown to say I busted out of Apes fairly early. So, the Annie Up Nation, I throw myself at the mercy of them. My guarantee was a farce. Anyway, it was fun playing. I really enjoyed it for the small portion that I did play, and I'll be looking forward to the next one.
Oh, you know, it's hard for me to pick on the poor guy when he has the humility to call back and admit that he fell short. You know, a lot of these people would call, be all braggy, and then just think that hopefully we'll lose the call or we didn't actually hear it or whatever and go along with our life. But no, hey, Player X, you stood up, other than the fact we don't know who you are, really.
Yeah, exactly. It's the karma coming back for not telling us who you are. That's why you didn't win, buddy.
But I give you mad props for calling up and letting us know that, your two bags of chips didn't work out.
Well, our next event is our $1.10 satellite for Event 3. It's on April 6th. 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Remember, there's a 6 and a date. There's an Apes to go along with it. So The actual event, event three, is Pot Limit Omaha, and it's noon Eastern time on April 16th. Of course, you can find all those details, including the password. Yes, the password at annieupmagazine.com/apes, although you don't need to go there now because you've been listening and we've been telling you what it is all along. But hey, go there anyway. Get our traffic going. And again, new this year, all winners get a pair of Blue Shark poker optics worth more than $100 and a seat into the 2K TOC free roll.
I like how you shortened that. That sounds hip. The 2K TOC free roll.
Yeah. It's not as hip as Y2K, but, you know, I'm working on it.
Oh, you probably should have gotten rid of free. That would be even 2K TOC roll.
Roll.
That would be hipper.
Oh, my God.
Assuming that I know what hip is, which obviously I don't.
Obviously you don't, because you tried to tan your eyeballs.
Well, I try to be hip when I'm out with the wife, you know. Mostly because she's always kicking me and punching me and saying, why can't you be more cool like all these other people?
Right.
Like I am, right?
Right.
So we try to go all the fancy bars, you know. And when I say the fancy bars, I don't mean those ultra lounges with the $100 bottle charges and all that kind of say. Places that have the natural light on tap.
Yeah.
Those are the places I like to take my wife. So we went to one of our favorite natural light on tap places, and lo and behold, the place was packed this night, Chris. It's almost never packed because there's just not a lot of taste for natural light anymore out there in the beer drinking universe, unfortunately. And so we were forced to sit on the back bench, as I like to call it. And it was right next to that, you know, those little video bowling games.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've seen it there every time we've gone to this bar, but we've always, you know, always had a seat at the bar and just decided just to waste our money on beer. And but this time, you know, hey, let's try it. Let's put a couple quarters in this bowling thing, and I'll watch my wife kick my ass because she always does in these things, right?
Right.
So I plunk the little quarters in there, and the bowling comes up, and it gives me a choice of two, Chris. I had no idea there's two kinds of bowling other than, you know, duck pin or candle pin or anything like that, but no one plays that except those seven people that live in Massachusetts. It was regular bowling, which, of course, I know growing up, I bowled 3 leagues a week. You bowled like 27 leagues a week, so you don't need to brag anymore. Yeah, Chris has 19,300 games. Go ahead, say it. Get it out of your system.
It's not 19, so don't worry.
Okay. 26 today.
It's 8.
Oh, yeah, only 8. So regular bowling, which I know, and then they had Vegas bowling, Chris.
I know what that is.
Well, I didn't, but I said, Vegas bowling, I don't care what that is what we're playing. So I clicked the little Vegas bowling button, right? And it turns out that it's like normal bowling.
Right.
And except that every time you get a mark, you know, a spare or a strike, you get a playing card.
Right.
Right?
Right,
and then at the end of the game, it doesn't really matter whether one of you has a 300 and the other one of you has a 12. Whoever has the best poker hand is the one that wins.
Right,
right,
right.
So of course, just like Al Gore, I won the popular vote in this battle of the longs. Had the highest score, but she totally schooled me with her poker hand and won. You know, the electoral college of poker hands. So I started thinking about this after, and I'm like, you know what? You did that great race for the Hyundai about 7 years ago, right, with Faso.
Right.
You guys both trained forever, and then we watched you walk around the middle school track for 4 hours until you won the $100 from them. And people really got excited about the prop bet, right?
Yeah.
Nation. And at that point, they're like, hey, man, we need to do more of this. Well, you know, we never kind of figured out a way to do it because I'm not going to run a mile or walk a mile or roll a mile or take a rickshaw a mile, whatever. But I started thinking this Vegas bowling thing was kind of cool because it gives you two ways to win in a contest. It actually builds in a fake handicap, if you will.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. You're saying that you may suck at the actual video game part of it, but if you make enough spares or whatever, you can get the cards to still beat somebody.
Right, exactly. I mean, if I was to challenge you in a bowling match, despite my wayward youth where I bowled all the time, you're going to crack my skull.
Right.
No question about it, right?
Right, right.
But, you know, if I get 5 marks and I get 5 hearts, 10 or higher, guess what?
You got a royal flush.
Win, right?
Yeah.
And it's probably the same thing with stuff that I do better than you, like, I don't know,
drinking?
Drink beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eat cheeseburgers, you know, stuff like that, you know?
Right.
So what I was thinking is, you know, we'll just throw this out to the nation. If it happens, great. If it doesn't happen, you know, hey, whatever. We just burned some time on the show here. But I am interested in the nation suggesting prop bets like that for us that have that ability for us to win playing cards and even it out.
Like a poker run, too, except we don't actually run.
Yeah, it's just like a poker run, and I even came up with the name with it, Chris.
Okay.
Figure we can like do maybe 10 of these things and call it the Donkathon. Or
or Maradonk.
Maradonk? Yeah, I was thinking like the Decathlon, but the Donkathon.
Donkalon.
We'll have to work on the name. We'll probably need, we need some... you know, image guy to come in and clean it up for us, make it sound a little better.
Yeah, we could hire one of those companies that hate Jumbo Sports.
Right, right, right. All right, so this is what I'm going to suggest, folks. Email your prop bet ideas, you know, whether maybe it's golf, maybe it's beer pong, maybe it's music trivia. I don't care what it is. All right, email it to us at podcast@nanyupmagazine.com or post it in the forum. Maybe we'll get a thread going there. And we'll see what the folks throw at us, and if we find some fun in there, and maybe we'll get going on this thing, and add a little spice to the show and to our lives. Are you down with that? Our
we have to consult our insurance our insurance policies too, make sure it's okay to do it. You know, they always do that on MythBusters. You know, that if it's too dangerous for Adam to do it or whatever, they go to like, you know, one of the underlings, or they get some other stunt guy to come in and do it because the insurance policy won't cover him, you know, skateboarding behind a 18-wheeler or something.
That is true. As you know, we just upped our life insurance from the company, and they had to ask you that hilarious question, you know, when I get done at the end of it, I'm laughing so hard. The poor guy's like, no, seriously, Mr. Long, I'm not laughing. This is what we have to ask. And it's stuff like, you know, hey, do you ever hang glide over Mogadishu while smoking a cigarette? You know, with a German hooker. No, I don't do any of that.
One of the last questions was, do you have a pet? I'm like, really? Are you asking me if I have a pet, dude? I mean, it's like, no, it's a good thing, because they think of having a pet as, you know, prolonging your life. Like, you have a reason to live. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, yeah, I have a pet turtle, all right? Can we move on?
He called me and he said, "Yo, hey, Chris told me he had a turtle." I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Chris told you he had a turtle." He loves that turtle more than he loves me.
That's not hard to do, buddy. That is not hard to do.
You press the reason for the question, and you're like, and you made a power play there. I appreciate that.
I'm like, dude, why do you need to know if I have a pet? And I thought maybe it was going to be like, you know, the pet might give me a disease or something. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm like, what are you asking me this for?
Yeah, what if you have, like, a mega python or something in your house, you know?
But it was the opposite. It was like it makes you feel good about having, you know, a pet, a companion, or somebody in the house, you know, and somebody to take care of or whatever. So it's like, all right, well, yeah, I got a turtle. Whatever, dude. Oh, man.
Oh, boy. All right, well, everybody, email those prop bet ideas to Chris and I at podcast@annieupmagazine.com or post them in the forum at annieupmagazine.com/forum. We'll monitor them for a while, and we'll see what we can make out of this.
It's Chris and me, not Chris and I. You're killing me. All right,
so somebody propose a grammar.
Yes.
Prop bet. There you go. See, we got one down.
Well, you know, I mentioned Jay Herkey earlier, and he actually wrote us an email this week talking about some of our latest interviews. He said, "The interview with Nolan Dahl was the best interview y'all have done in a while. Nice job. I love the y'all. You know he's from Florida.
I love y'all."
And the interview with Vanessa Selbst was also very informative and did not change his mind about her at all. He said, "It's a bit on the negative opinion, but it was a really good interview." And, you know, we've got a lot of people actually writing in about her and sending us stuff. And it just goes to show you, you know, how polarizing she is, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we probably got more feedback on that particular interview than any of the other ones we've done. And I think it's because of that. Exactly. She's a polarizing person. She's this person that, you know, doesn't hide from her opinions at all. In fact, we even got an email from a cop saying, "Hey, what the heck?"
Yeah.
So she's not afraid to say what she says on her what she thinks, and you know, some people really like that, and some people are turned off by it. You know, really shows you if you are milquetoast, you're not going to have a lot of friends.
I like that kind of personality, just because you always know where you stand with that person. You know, I had an old boss like that at the Times, and she was the same way. You know, she didn't pull any punches. She didn't beat around the bush, and I appreciate that. I like honesty like that. You know, it may rub you the wrong way sometimes, but at least you know where you stand.
Well, we know where we stand with the mailbag, Chris.
We have one.
We stand full mailbag. It is just packed stuff of stuff. So those of you who have sent good mailbag questions in, don't worry. We haven't lost it. We'll get it on probably in 2013 or so. So just stick with us for a while. But this week comes from Claude. Awesome name.
Claude, yeah.
If I ever had a turtle, I'm going to name him Claude. Because I'm not going to have kids.
Yeah, I know you're not going to have any kids. You just bought like 25,000 shares in Trojan condoms. So
only because my niece and nephew went down. Yeah, they are a piece of work. But Claude writes it, and he was playing in a 1-2 limit game at Mardi Gras Casino down in South Florida. For those of you thinking it might be New Orleans, it's not. It's in Florida.
Right.
So he's playing a 1-2 limit game. Blinds, oddly, are 1-1 in this, but that's not his question. But he said he's a C10, small blind. He's dealt the deuce-7 unsuited, the hammer, right?
Yes.
Most powerful hand in limit poker.
Yes.
The rest of the table calls. Flop comes all picture cards, king, jack, queen. And Claude tries to fold his hand, Chris.
Right.
Figuring, hey, there's absolutely no way I'm going to win this hand, which I might disagree because you could go runner-runner 7-7 or something like that. But anyway, hey, it's his hand. He paid the money for it, right?
That's right.
Wants to fold it. The dealer turns to him and says, rude, cannot do that. So Claude's like, well, do what? Fold my hand? It's rude? And then the Claude goes on and says, well, the problem is the dealer is Russian and his command of English is not great. And what he intended to say, or I guess probably clarified, probably did say, it was just hard to understand, right, is rule, not rude. So he says, not allowed to fold in this case. It's the rule.
It's the rule.
All right. So Claude wants to know, hey, have you ever heard of this rule of not being able to fold your hand when there's no action?
Only when I'm playing online. There are some sites that won't let you. Fold.
Won't let
fold.
You? Mm. Yeah. Stars will, but it really makes it hard to.
Yeah, no. Like,
you sure know what you're doing, idiot?
I know other sites say that, too. They'll say, are you sure you want to fold? And some of them just let you do it. So, but some of them won't let you do it at all. They won't even give you the fold option. It just says check or bet. And you know what? Yeah, I'm folding my hand. Nothing you could do about it. I'm going to the bathroom. I'm not playing his hand.
That's right.
It's not like I'm folding out of turn. It's my turn to act. I'm checking out, as they call it. They call it a checkout. I'm folding. So, see you later. I don't know how that could possibly be a rule. I think the dealer is just bitter because we shut him out of Apes.
That could be. Yes. Very well could be. I'm trying to think of a reason why you couldn't. I always, when I can't think of a reason, I always fall back collusion. Maybe it's some kind of crazy collusion thing that I haven't heard of. But, you know, hey, it's your hands if you want to fold. I mean, what I'd tell Claude is, the question here is not, is it a rule or anything? It's, you know, unless and you want to get out of there before everybody else. Or, as Chris said, you're down a couple Red Bulls and you need to
hit the little boys room. Yeah.
I don't understand why you would want to fold a hand until it got to the end, because you never know what's going to happen.
No. My mom's notorious for that. She'll fold even though she has a free check. And I'm like, it goes 7-7, Ma. It could go deuce 7. You never know what's going to come.
You could just go deuce. Yeah. I mean, a deuce could actually win in this hand. Yeah. You don't know that, right?
You don't know. He did say the rest of the table called, so he's probably up against like 16 cards, and I'm venturing to guess that one of them has a jack or a queen or a king. But hey, some of them could have the Cosenza. You never know. They could have Broadway.
Very long odds. Yes, you're correct. But anyway, what happens maybe, I don't know. I mean, most bad beats, as long as you're dealt in the hand, you're still eligible for a table share. But some might be, you know, if you're in the hand at the end or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't want to take that chance. You never know.
The point is, you know, just no reason. No reason to fold unless there's already action to you.
But
I don't get it.
But it's not a rule to me that I know of that you can't fold when it's your turn to act. Whether there's been action before you or not.
All right, Claude. Well, we appreciate you sending it in. And as Chris said, some online sites will prevent this for you. So we'll give you a great download of Poker Hand Breakdown Pro, a hand history analysis program for single or mixed games from element26.net. Maybe it can analyze how many times you folded when you didn't need to and make you a better player.
Our hotline rang this week. It's 813-448-1120. Someone actually heard me say that and called us. Thank you, Andy from Georgia. Here's what he had to say.
I've heard you guys say that there's nothing illegal with playing on the internet. I work for an employer that I can definitely cannot afford to ever be charged with anything, or I would lose my job immediately. I love to play poker, but I'm just not willing to take the chance of ever being charged with anything, even the smallest of violations.
All right, I'll take a stab at this.
Yeah,
case.
Just make sure, you know, I don't want him using us like when he's, you know, pleading to his boss or something someday, yeah. You know. But yeah, go ahead, take a stab at it.
I heard him calling Morgan to Morgan up and saying, hey, those idiots from Annie Up told me it's all right. So add them to the suit. what I will say is, obviously, he's very worried about his job. And if that's the case, if you're that hyper worried about it, and I'm not saying you shouldn't be, it's probably best just to steer clear of it.
Yeah.
But know that going in, there is absolutely nothing illegal in Georgia about playing online poker.
That's right. Pretty good.
Washington, completely different.
Yeah.
And again, what is technically illegal is a financial institution facilitating a deposit from a player to a website that's on the list, as I like to call it.
Right.
So really, the burden of any problem is on the bank. Now, that doesn't stop any kind of crazy, misguided law enforcement officer from getting involved and thinking he knows better than what the law is. I can't imagine that would happen, and then he would have the capability of tracking your online play and coming to your house and arrest you. But it's possible, just like folding deuce 7 on the coordinated board, you could still win. So on this one, you could still lose. So if it's really that vital that nothing like this happens to affect your job, yeah, just wait. Hopefully things will work out here pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, one thing you don't have to worry about is going to jail for receiving an awesome deck of J-Design playing cards, the official playing cards of Annie Up, which is what you're going to get right now. And those cards are actually available on the Annie Up store at annieupstore.com. Right, Scott?
That is correct. A lot of great stuff in the Annie Up store, so check it out. And we'll be adding some new stuff next week. I just got an email from our store manager. Going to be adding some great Annie Up hats.
Awesome.
I think they're great.
Awesome.
You think you hate them.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I like wearing my hat backwards, so.
That's true.
This particular hat isn't the type of hat you wear backwards, so.
And a reminder, the hotline is 813-448-1120. Call that, and we will give you some great swag.
We finished the tracking for the Chad Brown No Limit Texas Hold'em Championship just a little while ago, and it's coming up pretty soon now. It's going to be on TV on April 8th at 10 p.m., and then that's the feature table. That's where they put, like, the biggest names they could find in the field and where it was still legitimate to put them at the table. And that'll have Chad Brown and Victor Ramden. And mm-hmm. then April 15th is the final table, which will have Chad Brown as well, and Sean Deeb, who is going to be on the show today. We're going to talk to him a little bit now. But it's on the Comcast Sports South, the CSS. So if you have that station, you can watch it, right?
Yeah. And if you are a satellite subscriber at DirecTV or Dish and you have the regional sports network, you have it. Even if you may not even know you have it. So that's the other way to watch. And then hopefully at some point we'll be able to get it on the website or some additional networks. So stay tuned for that. But if you have that network, watch it here in the coming weeks.
So, Captain, how are the bookings going for our latest cruise?
They remain brisk, Gilligan. I appreciate you asking.
No, I would say skipper for that. You can't call me Gilligan when I call you Captain.
Okay, so I need to call what Vicky?
Yeah, I'll be. That's fine. I'll be the cruise director. Fine. You know, you could have called me Isaac. You could have called me, you know, the Gopher. You could have called me the Doc, whatever his name.
Not
you know,
the Gopher. It's Gopher.
No, I know. I mean, you could have called me Gopher. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, no, but they're going very well. This is going to be yet another very popular cruise. So give me a call soon. It is August 29th to September 2nd. It's going out of Port Canaveral, Florida. Make it two wonderful stops in the Bahamas. Once again, prices start at just $369 per person. Give me a ring to book at 727-331-4335 or visit our cruise page at annieupmagazine.com/cruise.
Man, we had a blast in the Bahamas, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we all tried to shark the little casino there and came out all right, and then splashed around in that Great Atlantis water park for a while.
That was wild. The water park was really a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to hopefully doing that again too.
Yeah, I've already started talking to Atlantis again about becoming a sponsor yet again for this one, so we'll hopefully see if that works out and gives one more reason for people to sail with us.
Very cool. Okay, what's gathering up on the news desk this week?
Lots of legislation this week. I know it's your favorite kind of news desk.
It is. It's so exciting.
All right, we'll start with Wynn Resorts and PokerStars have entered into a strategic partnership and will work together to help pass federal regulation of online poker. The companies will jointly run PokerStarsWynn.com after such legislation is passed.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Because now the Wynn is not going to want to get shut out, and they're going to fight just as hard to make sure that PokerStars is part of whatever legislation gets passed. So, brilliant.
Yeah, I don't want to delay the rest of the show, but there's so many interesting wrinkles in this particular news item this week. I was talking to one of our sponsors yesterday about this too. It's just so wild. One, that so many of these other brick and mortar rooms have come out against online poker in any form.
Yeah.
And now you got Wynn saying, not only are we in favor of it, we're already in partnership with the site and ready to go. And then we mentioned on last week's show, of course, that Caesars Entertainment has partnered up with 888 over off-seas to do something like that, too. So now there's really just a lot going on with brick and mortars and online sites and trying to get legislation passed. It's very odd how quickly this stuff is happening.
You know what's funny, too, is just in our latest issue in last week's loop before interview with Nolan Dalla, you know, he talks about how Steve Wynn was on the fence for some time and was actually against legalization of online gaming for a while. But, you know, he's like, hey, he's a maverick, he's a visionary, you know, how could he be behind the times and not see the potential in this? And boom, there you go. He must have read our issue or heard our interview and said, all right, I'm going to get involved with these guys. There you go.
Absolutely crazy.
All right, the Texas legislature is considering 9 possible constitutional amendments concerning gaming, including one that would create poker parlors in the state. Any amendment needs to be passed by a 2/3 majority of the House and Senate and also be approved by voters, the Dallas Morning News reports.
Poker parlors, I love that.
Yeah, it sounds like I want to get my hair cut and get a shave and have a root beer float.
Yeah, you know, I always thought, like, you know, right, you know, hanging out with my grandma and stuff, and she'd be like, oh, it's in the parlor, honey. And I'm like, the what? It's like so old riverboat gaming kind of thing.
It is. It's kind of cool.
But, you know, hey, Texas is one of the big miss on the whole gaming thing in our country, I think. And when that opens up, that's just going to be massive. But 2/3 majority in both House and the Senate, and then also approved by the voters. Wow, that's a
stuff.
Big hill to climb. Now we know why there's no gaming there right now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and finally, bills to allow internet and live poker in Hawaii, one of 2 states in the union that don't allow any form of gambling, have passed initial committees.
I wonder what the shipping costs will be for us to send magazines to the Oahu.
No, it's domestic. It's all the same. And I mean, FedEx is probably going, oh, man, what has happened?
Damn it. Now we got to send those Annie Up magazines all the way out there. Damn.
But, yeah, crazy. I mean, Hawaii, Utah, the only 2 states that have no gaming of any form. And all of a sudden, Hawaii is like, hey, you know what? Let's do poker. And, hey, if we're going to do poker, let's do internet poker, too. And, hey, let's get it passed right away. So it's already moving through some committees and stuff out there. So, man, can you imagine what it's going to be like if they get live poker? I mean, internet poker is one whole other thing, but live poker out there, I mean, it's going to become a great destination.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because Hawaii is a terrible destination already.
Oh, yeah, there's no reason to go there at all right now. So, I mean,
I wanted to go, and then Bobby got the weird idol thing, and the tarantula bit him and stuff, and I'm like, no, Dad, we are not going to Hawaii.
I was always freaked out by. I mean, it looks like Greg actually hits the reef in that video.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's scary stuff there, man. I was scared. Vincent Price too was classic in that.
Absolutely. I was like, you know, hey, Dad, let's go to King's Island. The worst thing we can do is lose your architectural plans there. You know, no one's getting hurt.
Remember Sven, our friendly Poker Stars Porsche dealer? Sven's still very excited.
Yeah!
He already knows that Poker Stars players together earn enough VIP points to redeem 5 Porsches every day. What's made him a little more excited is the fact that 5 of our Poker Stars players have already claimed these lovely pieces of German engineering. Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to have left all the other schemes, well, stuck in neutral. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
Scott, you know, I had the luxury of interviewing Sean Deeb just before the final table of the Chad Brown event in Jacksonville. And I got to tell you, as soon as we got into this business, I found out just how stupid I really am, you know. And most of it is because, you tell me every day that I am. But other than that, it's also because when I talk to these people, they are just so freaking smart. They are so quick. They're just light years ahead of anything my brain could ever formulate. And Sean Deeb is a perfect example of that. I mean, the way this guy thinks and how fast he can calculate stuff. He just talks so fast. I don't know how his tongue keeps up with his thoughts. I really don't. I don't know how he does it. Oh, man. But the best part of the interview to me was hearing what the greatest moment in his career was. I can't wait for everybody to hear this. So let's not delay any longer. This is Sean Deeb just before the final table in Jacksonville talking with me about all kinds of stuff. You're in town at the Jack's Poker Room for Chad Brown's event, and obviously you're doing very well.
Yes.
But I want to hear the story about the multi-tabling, because you don't get to do that in other poker rooms usually. So can you tell me what you did that day and how crazy that is?
Yeah, basically I came in the day with only half starting stack, and like I didn't almost even show up to this event. I was almost going to just blind out my stack and say, I'm just going to go grind online. It was a huge Sunday, so I was like, there's no reason for me to like waste my day with $3,000 in equity of a starting stack, so I got to my starting table. I told them, listen, I don't want to be here. I want to bust, and I'm going to go play online, or I want to have a lot of chips. So I apologize in advance if I suck out on anybody anytime soon. I'm just going to get it in really bad, and please call me. I want you to. And so, like, I double up twice, and I'm up to, like, $50,000, and I'm like, I have a brainstorm. I'm like, I didn't ask if I could play at the same time. So four. Do you guys have wireless here? Is it okay if I play at the same time? He's like, yeah. As long as you don't do it like during your hand stuff. I'm like, okay, cool. So like, I just kept playing and clicking and like. So I start playing hands with like 3-bet people, and my online set start beeping. So I have like 15 games going. So I'm clicking away, and I can tell people can't even pick up reads on me because they don't know if I'm playing online or live. And then I had one of my most fun hands of the tournament. I just 3-bet. I've been really tight for like a full level, which I never do live. I actually made a joke to Victor Ram at the table, who's played with me a lot. I'm like, have you ever seen me fold a full orbit before in a live tournament? He's like, not even close. And I had already done like an orbit and a half. I was proud of myself. And so I 3-bet Victor. I happened to have aces, and like I bet twice. And the next hand, Tyler Smith opens, who's really aggressive, had a lot of chips. I'm directly in position, and I synchronized break. It just started online. So I'm like, I don't have any online tables. Time to go crazy live. So I 3-bet 3-6 of spades. I noticed the kid in the 9 seat who had I was in the 7 seat, had a good view of my computer. He saw that all my turns went on break because he could see my screen. And he wanted to 4-bet me light, he said. But he knew that because I was on synchronized break, I was just going to 5-bet shove him. He's like, no matter what happens, his hand, Sean's putting all his chips in the middle, which is true. So a lot more crazy stuff happens. The big blind like tanks forever and like folds after like 4 minutes. And Tyler gets it. The deal like had pulled in all the bets. So like Tyler only sees like a 3K raise to him or something, or a 4K raise to him. And he like makes it like 5,100 more. Like he just threw out a random amount of chips. I was like, how much is that? He's like, he didn't even know. I could tell something was flustered with him, where like he didn't even know the sizing he was doing. He didn't really have a plan. He just kind of like spazzed out through some chips. So I'm like, we're 100K-ish deep. So I call his 4-bet, and the flop comes King X 7-5 of spades. So I flop a straight flush draw. I'm like, sweet, time to get it in. Then he checks, and I'm like, okay, he has nothing. So obviously I'm going to bet when checked to here with anything, let alone a hand as strong as I have. So I bet the flop like I think like 15,000 into like 25, and he calls, which is really weird. And I really didn't know what he had, and I was kind of just like confused. But I knew that if someone check calls a flop there, they're probably going to check the turn to me, which is great for me, because if I improve, I can bet. If I don't, I can decide to barrel, scare card, or I can just take the free card to the river. And the turn comes another king. He does what I expected the least. He actually leads out for like 25,000. And it's a really weird lead, and it makes no sense to me. And I'm like, I don't think he has anything. Because, like, if he had a king or was trapping, if he had, like, a pan like 10 suit queens, who like the turn card, they're going to check. They're not going to lead out now, unless he knows I exactly have a flush when he's inducing to not let me check back. So I end up shoving, and as soon as I shove, he's like, takes a few seconds, like, oh, go back to your tables. Like, this is going to take a while. At that exact moment, synchronized break had ended, so my table started beeping again. So I started clicking away. Oh, I forgot to mention, during the hand, I was fake going to my laptop.
Oh.
Yeah, I was I didn't want anyone to notice on break, so like when the guy was tanking the big blind, I would like look at my computer, click for like 30 seconds, go back to the table. Wait 30 seconds, go back to the table. Like, I was doing everything to trick them to think I was still playing online.
Right.
Because I knew that if he realized I was on synchronized break, he would know that I'm more likely to be playing a hand loose at the table as opposed to the normal hours.
Right.
So it was awesome, and he ended up folding what he said was queen six high, and he wanted to call the turn so badly, and he folded getting like 6.5 to 1, and I show him the six high, and he's just like, oh. And we didn't get a rabbit hunt, so I don't know if I would have gotten there, but that was one of the pots that really sprung me to there, because Tyler was really tough, had a lot of chips, and that kind of knocked him down and made him more afraid of me on his left.
Now, when you were multi-tabling, those were all tournaments, right?
Yeah, I was playing all the Sunday tournaments.
So they were $1,000 buy-ins? Or?
No, they were there was like anywhere from $100 to $215, and there was also the $150 relay
okay.
on full tilt, which actually ended up finals tabling, so it was really worth it.
God. Now, has that become second nature to you, just... You play so much poker. Is it just like automatic to be able to do that many tables and even play live?
Oh, yeah. 15 is nothing for me. Like, I've done 30 to 40 so many times that, like, 15 is easy to me. My decision making in tournaments after playing millions and millions of hands is every tournament hand I play, I know what I'm doing already. I've already gone through every combination of if he raises, if he three bets. I look at a table, see the stack size, immediately calculate every possible outcome I'm worried about. And it's just like I have a very analytical mind that's. Can compute very quickly, and I just think that's the skill set that allowed me to multi-table like I could.
Now, does that skill set help when you're playing your favorite game, triple draw on the limit?
Yes, I mean, clearly it's a thing about the breakdown of ranges, and you know that if someone draws two, how often do they make a pat eight? How often do they make a pat nine? How often do they make a seven draw, an eight draw? I know all those percentages in my head, so I know that if someone's doing something too frequently, that means they're bluffing in that situation, and then I take a line versus them, or if I know that they went pat, that most of their pats are like weak nines or 87s, and now I'm going to probably bluff shove them on post-draw because it's very tough for them to call with their range. Like, it's a sick game. By far the toughest game you can ever play.
Well, you play 8 games too, right? 10 games.
I play 8 game, 10 game, yeah. And I love that. But I used to always play Nolan single draw, and like when I played and got into Nolan triple draw, it was just such a different game than everything else. It's like it's truly the most skilled game, and I was playing like Tom Dwan heads up playing triple draw.
Okay.
Like he's better than me at heads up every other game, but for a while I was better than him at that game. I have no doubt, given enough time, he will get better than me, but as of right now, I have an edge on him, and I've been trying to get him to play me more. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
It's my game.
Do you ever get to play those games live?
We've actually played it. I haven't played it live. My friend Ben actually got heads up action versus Lane Flack one day. They were playing no limit triple draw, no limit single draw, like pot limit Omaha, and limit hold'em. Like, a really weird, like, they were just like drunkenly playing mix, like, one night at Aria, and like, it was fun. But it's such a big game, it's tough to get spread live. I know that Ivy and a few other people have played it with some businessmen,
okay.
because like you can just destroy a fish in that game.
Yeah.
It's like your win rate is possibly over 100 blinds per 100 hands.
Oh my god.
Like, that's the thing, like, you gotta realize how easy it is to get 100 blinds in that game. You get it in first draw and you just run out one card to one card, and you're like, the guy in position has a huge edge, and
yeah.
the pros are always gonna be in position in that spot, and that's where the fish are just gonna be like, well, I saw the pro go all in drawing one, what's the difference? I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah. You just won $300,000 in the 1K full tilt, and of course you won a W Coupe title this year, and you've won one before. And
yeah.
What do you consider your greatest poker moment, though?
My greatest poker moment just happened recently, this month, or last month. It was, I was playing a live $50 tournament in New York, had 30 people, it's my Graham's local league, and me and her played together, we're at the same table with like 15 people left, and I flopped like trip nines and a four-way pot, like checks around, I turn quads, I bet, someone calls, she calls, it's like a jack nine, it was 99 or Jack 9979 board, and I like bet full pot on the river, and like she calls me, and I say, "You're good. I have king high." I show her the king in my hand. She shows ace 10 high. He's like, "I caught him." She's bragging to her friends about catching me bluffing. And I flash to half the table my nine. And I'm like, "Slow roll here." And I show it. And she's like, "Ah." Oh, she gets all angry. Now, people are going to feel bad for me for slow rolling my grandmother. But little do they know, this is me getting even. She slow rolled me the previous year in Vegas. Like, we were playing a 3-6 limit game. Me, her, my girlfriend at the time, and a few friends. And we were all just playing around, like, messing. And she, like, slow rolled me with the straight. So then we end up in that same tournament, get heads up. And, like, during the final table, my grand forced me to chop with people. Like, $203 the first place. And I'm like, I don't want to chop this stupid thing. I literally, with going to the final table, I had 40% of the chips in play. Like, I and it was a knockout tournament. I had, I think, 10 knockouts out of the 20 people knocked out. Like, it was ridiculous. And so we get heads up, and I beat her heads up. So I have bragging rights for the whole year. And so it's great. It was the most fun I've ever played.
That is awesome.
For. Yeah.
How important is winning a major live title to you?
It used to be important. It's not. Like, I'm only doing it, to, like, just to prove everyone, because people say he can't win live. Like, look at my results earlier this year. I have a second, a third, and I'm going to have this final table. Like,
right.
This is, it's not hard to win live. I always said it's a sample size thing. I've played maybe 350 live tournaments. That's really nothing. Online, I played 50,000. Like, to compare samples and say, clearly there's something. I was doing things wrong. I was a weaker player live, but it wasn't like I should have been a losing player. There's no way I should have had the negative ROI that I had. It was just I never got deep in something. I never had a big suck out. And now I'm, like, starting to get more comfortable, and you're going to see me crushing this year in the World Series. I'm definitely going to be the sleeper for everything. So okay. I'm going to be making a lot of World Series bets, I think.
Tell me about livepokertraining.com.
Well, livepokertraining.com, I was approached about a year and a half ago by a guy who had a business plan. He said, "Listen, you're the guy for the site. I'm going to come back to you. We're going to get this worked out, and I want you to be the lead guy, and I want to follow you up and, like, get everyone else involved." So as of right now, I'm the only guy signed, but we're working with a bunch of other top online and live guys, and it's going to be, I think, the best training site there is, because I think all the problem with current training sites, they're just sending videos. There's no interaction. You don't really work back and forth instructor. You can't send questions and answers to your instructor. In our setting, you come in for a weekend, hang out with me. I have a whole model where I'm going to go through all the stages of tournaments you need to do. Then you ask a bunch of questions. You watch me play. You go over some of my hand histories with me there. It's just so much better than just seeing me thoughts. Because, like, if there's something I say that you don't understand, you're watching a video, you can't go further and say, "Teach me more about that."
Yeah.
But now, if we're in person, you can say, "I really don't understand this concept. Explain it more in depth." And I can do that. Or if they actually get something, they're like, "Oh, yeah, we already knew this. Skip it ahead." And that's the plan, is I think it's going to be much more useful to people. And it's a great weekend. And it's going to be, like, give them a lot of equity. There's no way that people can't learn a lot from me in tournaments.
Now, you know, when Doyle Brunson wrote Super System, it kind of made him have to relearn and play a different game, totally, you know, adjust and change gears. Does that concern you at all, people watching you actually play and saying...
Thing. Yeah, that was another thing with videos. It's like, my video could get downloaded by 500 people who sent it to another 5,000 people. Now, everyone knows what I do. But what the good thing about my site is I'm only giving it away to 20 people a month. So these people who learn early on, guess what? You're going to know these things before anyone else. It's not like you're going to be worried that all your opponents know these same things. What I'm teaching you is a very select few people are going to have that information, and that's going to make it more valuable. It increases the value to them and increases my own value personally. So that's what I think is the cool thing, is I'm going to make a few people really good at tournament poker and not just make everyone okay at tournament poker. I'm not going to hold back like a lot of people who make videos on training sites. I'm pretty sure holding back all their moves. They don't want to show why they're exactly doing this move, because they don't want people to induce them or influence them or to know that they're bluffing in this spot. So I'm not afraid to give anything away in my training, and so it's also because I'm not playing full-time anymore.
Right.
If I was playing all day, every day, I wouldn't have the time to or effort to do this properly, and also I would be afraid that once I coach 250 people and they're all playing the 1K versus me, like, it's gonna be, my equity is gonna be negative.
Right.
So since I'm not playing, I'm playing full time anymore. It's just like, it's the right decision for me at this time.
That's great.
Hi, this is Greg Raymer, better known as the Fossil Man, and you are listening to Annie Up.
All right, the hotline is runneth over, Chris.
Yes.
Mailbag is runneth over.
Yes.
Hands of the week, bottom of the barrel.
Oh, not so much.
Yeah, yeah. We can't get all cylinders cracking here at Annie Up.
But nonetheless, we still have one good hand to discuss. It comes from our great friend BitGuru.
BitGuru.
Who sailed with us a couple cruises ago.
Yeah, and it's actually this cruise that he sailed with, so hopefully he'll come back.
Right. Yeah, he remembers what it's like, probably. So, yeah. So he sends us a heads-up hand, Chris.
Okay.
And here's the setup. It's a $2.25 Matrix.
Oh.
CNLH tournament.
Okay.
I added the C for emphasis. So it's four simultaneous single tables against the same eight opponents.
Right.
All right. And of course, this is on an online poker site no longer affiliated with the NEO. In fact, I don't even remember us ever being affiliated with it.
Since it's the Matrix, I'm going to say that he must be playing Neo.
All right, he says he finished the other three tables in last place, second place in first place.
Oh, okay. Right. I thought you said that pretty slow. I thought he finished last in all of them. I'm like, that's not possible for Big Guru.
I am a dramatic storyteller there.
Okay. So. I got to stop reacting so quickly. Sean Deeb really rubbed off on me, you know.
You know, it was really tough. I felt bad for you in that interview, Chris, how you had to like pull information out of him. He just was so quiet, didn't want to say anything. So, all right. So, but he's heads up at the final, at this last of the tables, right?
Right.
And has more than a 2-to-1 chip lead against players also heads up in the other active table. All right. So this is why I didn't like these things. I played them a couple times, but then you're playing two simultaneous heads up matches at the same time. Yeah. How hard is that?
Yeah, that's a pain.
You know, I've got a little pea brain to begin with, and that's asking me to calculate a lot more than I'm capable of.
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
All right, so he says the top three on each table get paid as to the top three overall, right? So there's little points things there, too. He's locked up a first place. So he's already locked up first place overall,
yeah,
all right?
Yeah.
So right in this hand, they are essentially playing for the difference between first place and second place money at this particular table, 180 versus 108. A whopping 72 cents, as he says.
Wow.
Hey, you know, it could be whopping if all you have in your life is 72 cents.
That's right. You know, it doesn't matter how much you're playing for now. You want to play optimally anyway. So, yeah, that's still important.
Yeah, if you only have 72 cents, you're doubling your net worth on this thing. So, this is high pressure. All right, so here's a hand. It's heads up, of course, and he thought it was interesting. And, all right, so the... levels here are 120-240.
Okay.
And, of course, as I mentioned, Big Guru has him outshipped by quite a bit. He's got 9,700. His opponent has 3,800.
Got it.
His opponent is in the small blind for the 120, and our hero is in the big blind of 240. And the cards are dealt, and our opponent just calls. Which I always think is interesting. I love watching heads up because there's so many different styles that people have.
Yeah.
With heads up.
Yeah.
You know, you have some people that will always raise their button with anything.
Right.
You might as well put the pressure on the other guy to fold. And then you've got other people that just kind of call, maybe sometimes sneaky, want to kind of outplay on the flop. And then you have other people that just, it's not even queen seven. Boom, fold. I'll wait till I'm in position. Right.
Right.
All right, so this guy, of course, this is just one hand, so who knows? Maybe he's mixing it up, but he just calls, right?
Right.
And we look down at ace of hearts, six of diamonds.
Okay. One of the things that's tough for me to know is how this player played. You know, I don't know if he's the type of person that will, you know, limp with a big hand, you know what I mean, and try to trap you, or if he's right. If he had he been raising all the time before this, and now all of a sudden he's limping, what's the deal? So... it's tough. It's tough for me to really know, but any ace heads up, I'm usually raising. So, you know, and your heads up, so you don't really need to raise that much, maybe 2.5. So I don't know. Maybe make it like 500 to go, 550, something. It's tough for me to know, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I may want to try to trap him too, but I'm out of position. So even though I have an ace is strong, and any ace is probably good heads up generally, you know, I still want to. If I could, I wouldn't mind just taking it down now, too, and getting the position back. So, I don't know. I'd raise. What would you do?
Oh, boy. I mean, this is one of those tough things. A lot of it is, as you mentioned, knowing your opponent, which we don't know. But in general, I don't like to raise from the big blind heads up.
Okay.
Even with Ace Ace, I like to kind of conceal those hands. It's heads up. You don't have to worry about getting outflopped as much as you do in a full ring table.
Right.
So I don't necessarily think I need to protect my hand. A lot of times raising pre-flop, then you get into this game of chicken with everyone to the end of it, and you're showing down naked aces and things like that. I generally like to raise a lot when I'm the other person in this slot. You know, put the pressure on the other guy, and then be in position the rest of the hand. So, you know, generally, I think I'm probably just going to wrap the table here.
Okay.
But I definitely could support raising, and definitely could not support folding.
Okay.
That was too subtle for you, wasn't it? You're not going to fold because you're already in. There's no reason.
Yeah,
to
but
fold.
You know, you could fold like we did in the. Depends on the site. Maybe you could.
But I will say this, whatever I'm doing, I try to be as consistent as I possibly can, heads up. Not consistent with the cards I have, but with what I do in different situations, because I want to hide as much information as possible from my opponents.
Okay, very good.
So if I'm inclined to raise from this position, I'm probably going to be raising with lots of hands, not just aces.
Right. I hear you.
All right, so you get raised, all right?
Yeah.
All right, well, our hero decides to check, and he asks, bad play?
Well, I think we just said it's not a bad
play. Raise heads up with any ace.
Depends on who you are. So, I mean, for me, I'm not saying it's a bad play. Any way you play a hand is fine, especially heads up, you know, if you have a plan or whatever. So I don't think it's a bad play. It's just generally if I'm out of position and I have a strong hand like that, I'm probably going to want to at least try to take it down there, and if not, know I have, you know, the hand and see what happens after the flop. But, you know, obviously you provided an alternative way to play it, so it's not a bad play. So let's just see what happens.
Yep, just be consistent. All right, so we have 480 in the pot. We go to the flop, which is the 7 of hearts, 6 of clubs, 5 of clubs. And we are first to act.
Well, we got middle pair, and making a pair heads up is not easy. Of course, we don't know if this guy has a powerful hand or not because we didn't really raise and find out. He could be limping with anything too, so it's tough. You don't want to go broken in an unraised pot either, so, but I'm definitely going to put a bet out there. I got middle pair with top kicker, you know, and the likelihood of him limping, you know, and hitting, you know, is still 2 out of 3 he's going to miss. So I don't know what, so it's about 480 in the pot, so I don't know, I'd probably bet like 300 here, maybe 350. Mm-hmm. I don't mm-hmm. see where I am. I mean, I got a huge chip stack and huge chip lead, and even if I lost the whole hand, I'm still about even with the guy, so.
Yeah, there's a couple things I'm noticing here. One, again, I like to be consistent with my flop bets as well, too. So if I always bet on the flop, I'm always going to bet, and if I always check or whatever. So that's one thing I keep in mind. The other thing is, as you mentioned, any pair, you're pretty much going to go to the end of the hand.
Right.
And heads up, unless it gets really dangerous, or the betting gets really high, and you feel like you shouldn't. So unfortunately, the board is very coordinated. You know, 2 clubs, a straight could already be there. Guy limp, we don't know what's going on. So I've got a little pause here, I think, but I'm definitely not checking.
Right, no, I'm not going to check. What does that accomplish, checking, really? Unless you're, like I said, we have to know what this player plays like. If you know he's real aggressive, we might check. But since he didn't raise on the button, he's probably not an aggressive player. So I'm going to get some money in now and try to build a pot here and see if my pair is good. So I'd bet like 350 or so.
And the other thing in the back of my mind, too, is not that I hope this happens, but if we end up getting it all in here by the end, it's still a great match.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got him out chip right now. And, you know, if we can knock him out here, great. If not, then we're only going to be down by, it looks like, a couple thousand. And you can easily build that back up in another hand.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
exactly. It's completely different if you're the short stack at this point. All right, well, our hero bets 390.
Yeah, that's about right.
And immediately gets min-raised to 780.
Hmm. All right, well, the min-raise is, I don't know, the min-raise can tell you a lot. You can still have nothing and just think you're stealing. Could mean, you know, and everyone knows, oh, min-raise means he's got a huge hand, you know, whatever. So that could be what he's saying there, but he could also just, he could have hit the same thing you did. He could have hit a 6 or a 7, you know, you don't know what he's hit here. So I don't know. I think I'd call. I'd be inclined to call and see what the turn does. You know, keep the pot smaller now because you don't have a huge hand, but you necessarily don't have a hand you're going to fold either. So I would just call.
Yeah, exactly. I want to exercise great pot control the rest of his hands.
Yeah.
You know, unless I hit an ace or another six.
Yeah.
So the I'm ecstatic that if he had a raise, he only min-raised.
Yeah.
And you know, and Bit here is asking whether he should raise here. I don't want to raise here. I mean, he could be tweaking a stab at this, thinking that's a scary board, and we're just making continuation bets. So just calling is going to give him the information that he needs, and it keeps our risk minimal. So I'm just going
to
call.
Yeah, I agree. And again, you have to also think, okay, well, we're thinking, what does a min raise mean? But he's also thinking, uh-oh, what does that call mean? I don't like that call. Sure. So, you know, it could be that he's trying to get a free card out of you, that now you're going to check the turn, and he's got, like, you know, ace eight in his hand, or, you know, or something like that, or, you know, jack eight, who knows. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily think it means strength. It could just mean a play, too, that he's trying to get a free river. So let's just call and see what happens.
All right, well, that's exactly what our hero does. And with 2,040 in the pot, we see a turn card of nine of spades. So our board is seven of hearts, six of clubs, five of clubs, nine of spades.
That's pretty scary. I mean, not only because, you know, you've got to think of the cards that might have min raised. You know, like if he had 8-9, he would have had a straight, so he wouldn't have min raised. So he could literally have something like 10-8, you know, or he could have had like 9-10, you know, and was hoping to hit a gutter or two overs, you know. So that card completes a lot of hands that might have min raised. So it's pretty scary. I don't think I'm going to bet here. I'm just going to be, like you said, cautious and try to have pot control here. So I might just check. I think any bet here is just a waste.
Yeah, because I think he could easily raise you on this hand. So check. We'll try to keep the pot as small as we can and get the showdown and hope our six is good, or we improve on the river, I would think.
Yeah.
All right, well, our hero does check, and our opponent bets 960.
Yeah. I mean, if you absolutely believe that you're ahead, I don't even know if a call is right here. If you're going to call, you might as well. You know what I mean? It's weird to me. I think I'm either folding or raising, because I don't believe a call is the right call move here. Because right now you've got what amounts to third pair on a four-card straight board where you could just be beat by any eight. So I don't know. I think I'm inclined to let it go now. I mean, I've got a huge lead in this guy. Why am I going to get gouged for yet another 1,000 out of my lead, you know, when I've obviously outplayed this guy or this field in the other three matches? I'm going to have position on the next hand and still have the chip lead. I may just let it go here.
Yeah, you know, a lot of things going on here. I mean, we can protect our lead by folding. We got, you know, second bottom pair on a very scary board. You know, I think we said at the beginning of the hand, it's tough to fold a hand when we have a pair, particularly a pair with an ace.
Yeah.
But one of the things you got to keep in mind is the momentum switching. And the other thing, too, I'm keeping in mind in this particular instance, is this guy's playing a heads-up match somewhere else, too.
Yep.
So I don't know how much he's concentrating on ours. You know, if we fold here, we got a lot of different times to get better cards, better position, a lot of better, so we're not playing these real hard situations.
Right.
You know, I'm going to want my opponent to beat me. I don't want to help him beat me.
Exactly. And I think that clearly he's played very well. And so is this other player, because he's heads up at the other one too. So he's probably, they're in the top two of the quality players at this thing. So I think that I would just let it go and just start over. You know, you still have the chip lead, you have position on the next hand, and it's still very early in this tournament. It's only 122.40. I mean, you know, when you started the hand, you had a bunch of big blinds. So, you know, I have no problem letting it go right now.
All right, well, our hero decides to call and then asks if he pushes instead, might he get a straight or flush draw default?
Well, that was the thing that I did say, was I can't see myself calling. It was either going to re-raise, shove, because I don't believe him, or that I think he has a draw, or I'm going to fold it. So it was one or the other, and I really don't like the shove, only because you have to be really confident this guy's going to lay it down, or that you're ahead. And, you know, with the way the stacks are, do you really want to be trailing this guy knowing that you shoved with third pair, you know, and he's showing strength now? I don't really feel comfortable with that. You know, I mean, I'm not Sean Deeb. You know, he may have calculated a bunch of stuff that I couldn't possibly calculate. And that's the beauty of the show, is that we know we're not Sean Deeb. We're just telling you what we would do. And, you know, if you want to fail like us, do what we do. So I don't know. I just, like I said, I agree with him. What if he did shove? So that's what I was thinking. I just couldn't call. I disagree with the call there. It's either fold or
shove. Yeah, and his question is, might a straight or flush draw fold? And, you know, that's a tough one to answer. I mean, it kind of depends on whether the stakes are bigger in the other tournament this guy's in, whether he's just happy to take a shot or not, you know, whether he's put enough in that he wants to fold it now. I think it's hard-pressed. An opponent outshipped who's shown this much aggression so far is going to fold his hand for anything.
Yeah,
I can't imagine he's betting with air
here.
So I don't think he's betting with a straight or flush draw. He might have that as a backup option.
Right.
But I just don't see him folding whatever he has here to our shove. That would be my answer.
Yeah, so I don't think a raise really is called for here. We could be ahead, but do you really want to take that chance? I don't think so. So I'm laying it down, and I disagree with the call, but we'll see what happens on the river.
All right, we got 39-60 in the pot, and our river is the 8 of clubs. So our final board is 7 of hearts, 6 of clubs, 5 of clubs, 9 of spades, 8 of clubs.
Oh, my God.
So now we got the straight on board, but the club draw got there.
The most hilarious card in the deck comes out.
The most hilarious.
It's like watching it on television, and you know, literally, whenever I watch poker on TV now, I turn to Jean, I say, 10 of hearts is coming. And she's like, how'd you know? And I'm like, because that's like the most action card that could come out and make television on this event. And sure enough, it's like the 10 of hearts comes. You know, the 8 of clubs is like the worst card ever.
Well, you know, you mentioned the hilarious card, too. I'm looking at, have you looked at 8 and C together? It's actually funny looking, too. It's like a snowman shoveling.
Snowman plowing.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're killing me. April Fools.
All right. Well, we got the straight on board, which, as you mentioned, adds a whole degree of complexity to this hand. And, of course, we are first to act.
Oh, man. Well, again, I'm one of those guys. You know, when there's a straight on board and it can be beat by a higher straight, I'm the type of guy that'll lay it down when they shove on me, you know. I don't really care, you know. Okay, so you're going to win, you know, 1,500 of my chips here. I'm still the chip leader, and, you know, the worst feeling is when you finally say, no, I'm going to call because I know he's bluffing, and then he turns over the 10.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Right.
So what do I need to – what do
or
I need?
Or the clubs.
So, yeah, or the clubs, yeah. So I'm check folding. I'm sorry, but I really am. I'm check folding, and I know I'm the worst poker player ever because I went out like in 55th place in Apes when there was only 45 guys playing. So I'm check folding. Sorry.
All right. Well, I'm gonna check. I'm not gonna fully commit to the fold here. I mean, it depends on what he bets. If he makes one of his little post oak smallish bets, I'll probably pay him off here just to see. But yeah, I don't see any reason to risk more chips that can get raised.
Right.
Here.
Well, I say check folding because there's no way this guy's going to bet less than 1,000. I just don't see how that's happening. So, I mean, obviously I'm folding to anything that's substantial. And
well, I mean, he could be scared of the club draw. You know, if he stayed around all the way to the end, we very well could have a club draw here.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Well, all right, so what happens? I'm obviously.
All right, well, our hero decides to bet out 240.
Wow, we bet. Defensive
bet. Less than 10% of the pot.
Wow.
Taking the flush with a min bet. Yeah. Stupid, eh?
that's not going to get us anything. Obviously, he's going to raise here. I understand the defensive bet, but it probably need to be a little more than that to get this guy to maybe just think about how he
can. I'll give him some creativity points here, Chris. It's a hilarious bet.
It's hitting the bet button. That's all he did. He bet one bet.
It is.
It's not enough to get somebody to fold. So what are you doing it for? I mean, he's not going to be afraid of 240 chips. So, you know what I mean? I'm not sure what you're accomplishing by doing that, really. It's not really defensive to me.
You're just being hilarious.
Okay, well, I didn't know we were playing poker to be hilarious. Because if that's true, then we would be great, friggin'. We would be great players.
No, I really don't know. I mean, I guess a lot of it depends on what he actually does. You're right. I can't imagine him not raising us. I can't imagine him folding, obviously. So I don't know. I think it's kind of like you know, the rich guys that light their cigars with a wad of $100 bills. It's kind of like the same thing. Yeah, I'll just light this 240 on fire for the fun of it.
Yeah, what the hell? Let's burn some money.
All right, well, he bets a 240, and just to show you how little we know, Chris, our opponent calls.
Wow, he just calls. Wow. So now the guy probably doesn't have anything. He's gonna have the same straight as you, and because why would he call unless, you know, if he had a 10, he would raise, or unless he's afraid of the clubs. He could be afraid of the clubs.
Yeah, really, like I say, he really well could be afraid of the clubs. I mean, this is one of those straight on boards. I mean, normally when you're betting a straight on board, you're just trying to get the guy that either to not realize there's a straight, or to think that, as you mentioned, that you have the higher straight.
Yeah.
But with the clubs, it adds a little more complexity to it. So I could just see this guy shaking his head like, you got to be kidding me.
This guy has This guy has a 7 in his hand. He may have already had the straight before the river. That's what I'm going to have to guess.
All right. Well, at Showdown, we show our playing the board straight, 9 high. Our opponent shows the Jack of Spades, 6 of Hearts.
Oh, rivered. We were rivered to half the pot. We had it all coming to us. Wow, this guy played it tricky.
We were ahead the whole way, and
All right, well, at least we got half the pot back, and I'm assuming Big Guru took this down, so.
You know, he didn't give us a epilogue.
That's why,
so
I'm assuming.
We don't know for sure.
I'm assuming.
But, yep.
Wow, we were ahead the whole way, and really could only be beat by another Jack, so.
That's well, okay. You know what? What I think this hand shows is that heads up. I mean, it's really tough to put people on hands.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
People are going to be betting and calling down with ace high with any pair, and to me, that's why I think it's really important just to be consistent in your bet, no matter what you have, and really kind of frustrate your opponents that are going to be trying to do something a little different at each hand. You know, betting patterns are huge heads up. I think,
yeah.
Particularly online.
Yeah.
And if you have no betting patterns, then it just makes it much harder on your opponent.
Very interesting, though, the bet of 1,000 on the turn when the 4-card straight gets there.
Yeah.
You know, and then you still only have what's amounting to third pair like us. Interesting bet there. He's probably thinking maybe you have clubs, and then when the clubs got there, that's why you only called. That's probably why you bet that much on the turn. I'm trying to get you to get off your clubs. And which is, you know, heads up. How many flushes get their heads up, you know? So
yeah, it's just one of those things where you're like, really? Are you serious?
Yeah.
You got there?
Hey, that's my line.
Sorry, buddy. All right, Big Guru, we appreciate you saving us with a hand of the week this week. You are a previous swag winner, as you well know. But other folks, if you send the hand of the week to podcast@antiupmagazine.com, we will send you some wonderful stuff, maybe something like a T-shirt from PMS Pokerware, which sells hilarious shirts for gals and guys. Now in the Annie Up store at AnnieUpStore.com.
Well, I want to thank Sean D for confirming that I am a dunce, and I appreciate him being on the show this week. April Fools, everybody. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.